something good.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Good morning, morning glory. I don't know where that came from. But then again, you know, do we ever?
No.
We don't know where a damn thing comes from. Anyway. And that's our show. Bye. So today is what? Tuesday. It always seems like so much time has passed from the Thursday show to the Tuesday show.
I know.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, I could spin a yarn, but let's see if I really could.
I could knit a sweater
right now, but maybe somebody wants to call in. And
we don't have anybody in the queue, and chat room is still trying to get in. So,
okay.
Yeah. So Blog Talk, well, at least maybe I shouldn't always blame it on Blog Talk, but it seems to be easier to do that. It could just be my computer.
Oh, let's blame it on Blog Talk, those bastards for 11 years. Remember season one when we used to freak out? And now we're like, yeah. We're like, as I always use the metaphor of the old hooker, leave the money in the dresser. Don't talk. Don't kiss me. Don't talk. Leave the money and get out. Not that I know anything about being an old hooker, but, you know, word on the street begs to differ. No, not true. I know, but it just makes me laugh because we're just so, I mean, the whole nature of why we've been doing this podcast before we were doing this before the word podcast was even a word. That's how long we've been doing this. Crazy ass show. Yeah, we took it so serious. What are we going to talk about? Oh, no, we're getting glitches from Blog Talk. Oh, and now we're like, yeah, okay. You want to cancel? Yeah, we'll cancel. Okay. But you want to reschedule? Yeah, we'll reschedule. It's all right. Anyway, but let's blame it on Blog Talk. Blame it on them.
Okay.
What they do to you.
This time.
Right. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm...
Okay, they just didn't let you in. All right. And you know what? They're always throwing me up. They're like, oh, that one with the mouth. When Alisa does her own show, we will not have any glitches. Yeah, we know who's behind. We know who's behind. We know who's pulling the strings. Okay,
stop.
I'm not going to even name names. I'm not going to even go there. We know. Yes. Your fan who's not a fan of me. All right. Go ahead. Anyway, what a interesting turn of events. So, of course, Corona is doing its thing everywhere in the world. And do we need to hear about another strain that's even more jacked up than the one that we've been trying to process for the last year, bitches? Do we really need to have more baseline anxiety? Because I've learned my whole life to live with baseline anxiety. It's like, no, let's like keep the PTSD in its nice little bubble because we don't want to disturb it, and let's just manage the baseline anxiety that we're accustomed to. So in the spirit of being safe and all of that, I am the most at peace or the closest to it when I know my household is intact, meaning my two sons are doing their thing in our apartment, no one's out running these streets, and all is well. So my beautiful, amazing, incredible 15 and three quarters year old, whatever, he'll be 16 in the summer. So he's a very devoted boyfriend. I really like his little girlfriend. They're like little Romeo and Juliet. They're so I can't even get mad at them. They're so cute. It kills me. Pisses me off. They're just so damn adorable. And then she calls me Mommy Liz, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. So I've of course, opened up my home and my heart to her, and also in the spirit of safety. You know, because when I first met her a couple months ago, we ended up in the elevator together. She was coming over to visit my son, and I just drilled her, the whole corona drill. She probably walked to a lab to, like, get a test and come back to, like, show me, like. And it's really funny, too, because I heard her through the door telling my son, I was in the elevator with your mother. And I'm like, yes. Anyway, so, and again, it's so mercurial. And I'm learning so much by witnessing the ebbs and flows of two incredibly young people. She's almost 17. He's almost 16. Mm-hmm. Navigating. And I could just see, like, oh my God, they're like 2 months in and they're falling into these traps. And I've noticed this with him. This is his second girlfriend, with his first girlfriend. And I remember they would have very loud phone conversations or FaceTime conversations. And I'm like, this sounds like a dissatisfied middle-aged woman telling her partner how dissatisfied she is and how he's not measuring up. I'm like, oh my. Oh, this shit starts young. And I've just been, as you guys know, my missteps or misadventures in being single that I've been talking about since I've been single. I've always said, why can't it just be based on a friendship and that you're not these damaged, fragmented people trying to appropriate consciousness that really has to emerge and develop within yourself, and that you are mirrors and teammates and supporters of each other. You love each other because you're friends. So I noticed it with the first girlfriend, and I was so glad, like, when that was over. And then now he's with the second girlfriend after he, you know, mourned for many, many months the demise of that relationship. And then here we go again. So now they weren't arguing, but the ex, again, we're talking teenage stuff, and this could be any age. It kind of freaks me out a little bit. The ex-girlfriend texted some, I don't know, innocuous message, some whatever, and my son, being the nice, sensitive flower that he is, inherited it. I mean, even though he's not my biological child, he's my cosmic child, because he inherited all the hypersensitivity. He's also a Cancer, the hypersensitivity, all of that. Like, we're very much alike emotionally, and I apologize, Jeremiah. Mommy is so sorry. So they were getting on okay. I know a text message came from the ex. He's being a gentleman and escorting his girlfriend back home to Brooklyn, and still everything's cool. This is Saturday night. Everything's cool. Now I do have him on the tracker, right? Mm-hmm. And it gets dark early here, as it does in a lot of places. It gets dark 5 o'clock. It's like pitch black. So I don't care what time it is. It's like the vibe outside, the weather, whatever. And I'm like, he's taking way too long to get home. And I'm like, well, maybe her mom, you know, because she loves him. Maybe he's at the mom's house, whatever. So I'm on the tracker, and it's getting later and later and later. And then I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? And the tracker is not making any sense. He's in Brooklyn. Then he's in Manhattan. Then he's in the Bronx. And, okay, right. And I'm like, is Corona? They got another strain floating around. No one can get vaccinated, yes, in my house, because we're not, whatever. Why are you doing this? And I also said, text me when you're on your way home. Did any of those things happen? No. So here we go. So I'm doing my deep breathing. I'm trying to calm myself down. I am messaging him. Nothing, 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 nothing. So this went on for a couple of hours. And now I'm a wreck. Now I'm in that. I'm not in the rabbit hole, but the rabbit hole's looking real good. The rabbit hole's like, you know you like it. I'm like, no, I don't like the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole is whispering. I'm like, no, I am not going to go into this rabbit hole because it's the darkest place for me to be in. It's pain I can't bear. And I just have felt it too many times to know if I can exercise the willpower to not succumb to that, I'll be better off because I'm already a hot mess. So finally, after many hours, it turns out my adorable punk of a child fell asleep not once but twice on the New York City subway system.
Oh, my gosh.
And I lost my leaping mind. Because if I could curse like a sailor right now, I would, but it's early. I lost my mind. And I'm like, you can't sleep on the subway! The crime is up in New York. New York has turned into the New York of my childhood, which I hope none of my kids would have ever experienced. And I'm talking the New York of the Martin Scorsese film Taxi Driver, you know, romantic comedy, the New York of Saturday Night Fever, like a gritty, it's like New York of the 70s and the 80s. That's the New York that I grew up in. And I'm seeing glimpses, and then you throw in a little Mad Max, okay, glimpses of that, dystopian, whatever. Okay, so thank goodness there was a reasonable explanation, but needless to say, I was shook. Then the next day, he's fighting with the girlfriend because I guess she saw his phone and saw the text from the ex. And he was just being polite. So now she has accused him of cheating. And they're fighting like an old, contentious married couple. And I am fascinated. And I'm like, is that what the kids learn from what they see growing up? You know, and I'm not going to lie. I don't have many regrets in my life. I have very few. But one of the few regrets in my life that I have is that on too many occasions, my kids were witness to toxic communication between their father and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. I mean, that was a big motivator to just end the marriage. And I know his girlfriend doesn't have the most pleasant of a home life, a home environment. So when she comes here, yeah, she's coming to hang out with my son, and I have his situation hooked up so amazingly that if I was his girlfriend, I wouldn't want to leave either. Like, it's a nice setup that I have for these children. So, but it really gave me pause to think, like, if they're modeling that behavior at 15 mm-hmm. and 16, are they going to do that for decades? Or am I breaking a pattern? I don't know. Because I'm choosing to see things differently or to explore new ways of perceiving connection. And so it really made me a little sad. Then, and this is where things take a sharp left, so they're fighting. you know, on the phone, FaceTime, and over the years, and I know, and thank goodness, Mom is clairvoyant and psychic. Thank goodness. There was we had episodes of self-harm. A couple years ago, we've had episodes of suicidal thoughts. Again, I did all the interventions. I did all the evaluation. I have so much. I had so much paperwork on this kid that I got him into high school without eighth grade transcripts. Okay, that's I Aaron Brockovich'd this whole situation with this kid. So I'm totally on his emotional, physical, and mental well-being. Completely on it. So he has said very rarely, but on rare occasion, I want to kill myself. Now, there were times that I would, especially a few years ago when the divorce was at the worst, that process was at the worst and it was the most contentious. I did take him to the emergency room to be evaluated by a psychiatrist. Like, I've done those things. So I always have plan A or plan B. Plan A is like, this is real. Be a grown-up. You have to take action. Or plan B, it's like, okay, he's being a teenager, and that's what they say. So I'm always ready. Option, you know, option A, option B. And this kid was trying to protect me. So he didn't want to say, Mom, I want to kill myself. I'm so upset. Because he knows I was already visiting the rabbit hole the day before when he slept on the train. So he's trying to protect me. So he talked to his father. And listen, I'm so glad they have a good relationship. I try to do my best to not talk smack about this man. I'm not always successful, but I'm much better. And so he said it to his father. Now, his father did the right thing, and I had his father's back on this. He did the right thing. The father texted me to say, Chuck and Jeremiah, he's saying da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, now we got the father involved. Thanks. Okay. So we put that over there. And my son was so upset, again, in the spirit of wanting to protect his mother. He was so angry at his father. Now I'm hearing through the wall, because his room is adjacent to mine, through the wall, he's screaming, and I'm like, oh no. Now he's triggered, and now he's having an episode, because he does have a diagnosis of, it's called an intermittent. I mean, back in the day, we didn't have labels for this. We just acted out and kept it moving. But now there's labels for everything. So now it's called intermittent explosive disorder. And it's a thing. It's a psychiatrist, you know, that was the diagnosis, whatever. He has a couple things. Okay. And I'm like, okay, this isn't good. So I take a deep breath. I go to his room. And he's screaming at his father. At this point, I don't know what's going on. And then he proceeds to violently punch his bedroom door. So now there's a hole in his door. And I'm like, I don't want to go to the ER. There's corona. I don't want to go to the ER. And I've already been to the ER with this kid once, if not twice, during freaking corona. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because that's who he likes to visit, the Jeremiah Mackis wing at the freaking emergency room. Because he has his own – they know us. And I'm not proud of that. So I'm holding it together. And this calm just washed over me. And I said, he was just raging. I didn't want him to tell you. I said, you wanted to protect me? He's like, yeah. And I just stood with him. I stayed in his room. I closed the door. I kind of barricaded myself. And I stayed with him. Until I was there for hours. And I said, you know, Jeremiah, I always have plan A and plan B. Like, this is real. We got to get you, like, serious help that I'm not equipped to support you. or that you're being a teenager that's freaking out because the girl that you love is accusing you of something that you didn't do. And I said, well, let's find a safe word. Let's find something to say. And then, you know, I joked. I said, look, you could be on your period. You know, I get it. Like, so you go the hormones, you go crazy. So I said, if I say, Jeremiah, are you cramping up? Do you have cramps? That's the safe word to mean this is really bad. I'm in trouble.
Mm.
Or are you okay? You're just going through whatever. No, it's the opposite. You're cramping up, meaning I'm on my period. This is temporary. Or is this serious? And we gotta take care of business. I said, Plan A, Plan B. We have to be a team. And why can't we invest all of this energy that we've been investing all of these years to actually investing in your amazing potential and the beautiful child that I'm privileged to call my son?
Mm.
Now, in between, when I would take a break to get water, go to the bathroom, I was crying. I mean, I didn't do it in front of him, but I was crying like somebody died.
Mm.
Because nobody wants to see somebody in so much pain. And the irony that it was such a violent response to his father because he wanted to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that it's kind of twisted, but it's so primal and so beautiful all at once, in a sense.
Mm.
Okay, so that was Sunday. And on Monday, he was a little bit more calm. And I said, you know, it's really convenient that you have a mom who's knows things. He's like, yeah, I know. I said, you know, this isn't over, right? He goes, yeah. I said, you guys aren't done. I mean, I wish I could say that they were. I know they're not. And then he went to visit her yesterday, came home early, texted me every step of the way. and I didn't ask him what was going on. But there was a calmness, and that was good enough for me. And in the wake of all of that, so to circle it to where I am perceiving redefining relationships, right, as I've been stumbling through dating, not dating, being single, with all that insanity the last 13 months. So I texted. I gotta call him 2.0. This is so terrible. I gotta come up with a name for this guy. I can't. Oh, anyway, I've never called him. I have not called him by his name since he found me. I can't. That's so messed. I mean, he understands. I mean, he's like 2.0 is fine. I'm like, no, that's not good. You know, and he knows me 100 years, so it's fine. But like, oh God, I need to. Move past that. But in thinking about connection and all of that, I texted. It was early in the morning. And I'm like, if you're up, I'd really love to have a conversation. And we had a phone conversation. And I think just in seeing that modeling behavior in the two relationships that my 15-year-old has had, I'm like, I need to break some patterns here. Now, I haven't been in a serious relationship since my divorce. Have I had a dalliance or two? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And after being celibate for 4 years, she needed to, like, see what time of day it was. So thank you, guys, the ones I was with, not with, whatever. Thank you. She got educated. She made up for lost time and very quickly. This is very different. This is someone that I've known since I'm 19 years old. Entirely different. This is the only person on the planet that I could have this with. And I said, I am much more interested in connection and friendship than anything else. And I don't want to stand on ceremony. And I have to come to the realization that I know you're not going anywhere. Because at the very least, we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict the future. Well, I sort of can. But yeah, but it really gave me pause. Like, are we showing our children how to not really connect? And that it's normal to be fragmented people seeking to put those fragments together through somebody else, and of course that's impossible. I think it's at this side of the fence now, you know, being well into middle age or whatever the hell you want to call it, I find it absolutely fascinating. Yeah, and we have a date later today to discuss. So we'll see. I mean, not to discuss, but just coincidentally. So we have our second date. Oh my goodness, today. Yeah, tomorrow's inauguration day, and I don't know that people are going to be running crazy in these streets. Who knows what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. I hate to think that way, but I think I'm being smart. So I think I want to keep my circle tight tomorrow, where I'm not going to be really out of my neighborhood. So, yeah, I don't know if, hopefully it'll just be, we really need a calm, hopeful day like when we got the election results, but we don't know, do we?
Nope, we don't.
Nope, no we don't, but it's Inauguration Eve, so at least we can, you know, sit in the eye of the storm and hopefully stay there, because a lot of people are not happy about this result, which is really frightening that so many people are unhappy about this outcome.
Right. Well, for that, you know, well, as with everything,
mm-hmm.
On the spiritual side, is just to maintain, in a sense, what you're wanting to do. Like, you want to keep your circle tight. And for me, it's more maintaining a level of peace within myself.
Exactly.
To put things out there that I don't want out there.
Right.
But if it's just like, you know, kind of a in jest, because that's what everyone's talking about at the water cooler, but it's more like, well, you know, I would want for the best outcome. I would want for me to be peaceful, and for there
right.
to be a peaceful day, just like every day. But, you know, so much has been put on, you know, this week, and, you know, this upcoming event, and then really, and then the day after that, and all that. So
that's right.
That's where I am with that. I will say, to kind of segue, we do have people in the chat room, and there is a couple of comments and a couple of questions here. So
okay.
Hello to Jay, Amish, Will Ferry, and Raven. And let me just go, we're just going to go in order because it's easier that way. Otherwise, I'll
okay.
scroll up and down. But Lil Fairy is back
hey,
in.
Hey, Lil Fairy.
She did have a question and then a comment. I'll
okay.
do the comment, the follow-up, because she, you know, she was, she at first said that about the company that made an offer in December hadn't contacted her yet to sign the work contract. And then
mm-hmm.
a few minutes later, she said, just got a mail from the company. They will hire me. They just have to finalize figures.
Of course.
And it'll be done. So that was good.
Of course. Yay.
Yeah. So then, of course, her question then.
Well, yeah, we know the question. Go ahead, Lil Fairy. Switch it up.
I'd like to ask what you see about that male coworker from another department. Who interacted with me at my temp job, please. It was all work-related conversation. So that was just sort of circling back. What do you see about the as one does, right? Some people more than others. I'd like to ask what you see about that male coworker from another department who interacted with me at my temp job.
I want to know I would love to know what she felt when they were having. I think so much is being projected externally. I would like to know how she felt in that experience. Did she feel, oh, he's cute, and we made eye contact, or we vibed? I mean, my feeling with the energy is that this is not anything. It was just work conversation, and maybe he thought she was cute or whatever, but I'm not feeling anything more than that. That's the energy that I'm reading in this moment. That could change, but in this moment, you know, she was noticed, and that's lovely to be noticed, but I think he's otherwise, he got stuff going on. But listen, I'm not mad if someone's going to be looking. Listen, it's good to look. It means you're alive. You know, I mean, don't you want to be with somebody that other people find attractive? I mean, not that you want anybody to, you know, exploit that.
Right.
But yeah, there's a sense of, you know, pride with that, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my take. That's my take. I think she was noticed, but I don't think that that it's going to go further than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And she hasn't written anything else in. That's sort of the ongoing theme when she noticed that she got noticed.
Right.
When you notice you get noticed, whatever that feeling is when that happens, because sometimes you get noticed and you're like, oh, let me
yeah.
Let me not get noticed.
Let me find a paper bag. Like, oh, listen, I'm like, don't look at me like I'm a sandwich. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, because that's nasty. Don't do it. Yeah, and you can tell immediately where you're like, oh, come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
So, so I think I like what you're doing there, Liz. Where you're.
Thank you.
You're sort of just letting her express how she felt at that moment, and that's the sort of energy that you want to continue
to
notice.
It's given, and you know, so much is appropriated to the guys. Well, I have to wait to sit at that's a submissive role, and it's really time to understand. It's a dance. They're not dancing by themselves.
Right.
It's a give and take. But to my point about observing in teenagers this fragmented behavior. Do you see how it kind of ties into what I was just talking about? Where we're not fragmented people. We are whole, complete, complex, multidimensional beings that, you know, all we're doing is aspiring to be as present-minded as possible, aligned as gracefully as we're able to, as we're stumbling through the shit show that is life. And to be happy to be alive, that has nothing to do with another person. Now, if another person enhances that, yay. But at the end of the day, you have to be in relationship with yourself. You know. And what I will say is it is a primal human need, because if I could live without it, I freaking would. A primal human need for human connection. It is a need, you know. It's like for some women, the primal urge to be a mother can be way more activated and awakened in some as opposed to all.
Right.
There's a lot of people who have parented children that maybe did it because they thought that was the right thing to do, but they weren't called to do. I was called to do. I knew my whole life I wanted to be a mom. I never wanted to be a wife. I actually, when I was a child, I wanted to be a single mom. And maybe that's because I saw my mom do it. I don't know. But I never wanted, like, the husband, right? And I, you know, yes, I got married and I was young and I was in my 20s and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But it was that primal urge to be a mom at whatever cost. And then I ended up being a biological and an adoptive mom, which has completely enriched my life. It's exhausted me. It's brought me to my knees more times than I care to admit. Would I change it for anything? No. Do I adore my kids? No doubt. But it's about knowing yourself. Then when I finally did become single, I've been, you know, on this quest to understand and learn about myself and to not be fragmented as I'm moving through connecting with people. Now I find myself, very much to my surprise, at the gateway of maybe one of the deepest connections I potentially could have with another person. Because this is crazy. This was not what she thought she was going to be doing. I don't know what, I think I would have just played around a little bit more and then I would have been like, it's a wrap and I'll wait for the next life to, like, you know, have something special with one person, whatever. And I would have been happy with that. Okay, but the twist and turns of life, but the priority was not to keep navigating this life as a fragmented person looking for somebody to crazy glue, and I say that deliberately, to crazy glue all the broken pieces. It's that, no. Because they're fragmented too, trying to unlearn that, trying to restore that wholeness.
Well, so, and I think that's the big life lesson slash part of the process. I mean, for us to look at, you know, as you were describing what was going on with your son and how he's trying to figure out stuff for himself and how he's expressing that. And even with his girlfriend, you know, at that age, you know, all we know is what our parents have modeled.
I know. I'm like low-key guilty about it, to be honest.
But it's not just that. I mean, that's the primary
but
source.
But it's influenced it. I have to copy
so
that.
So has TV. Sure, and so has TV.
Thank you.
So
thank you for having my back. You're my girl. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I'm just saying, so has everyone else's parents. Like, so everyone else that he's seen when he's gone over to someone else's house, even if it's just briefly, even if they don't hang out there. I mean, so we're all in this, and we're all figuring at different points in our lives, we look at what we've chosen to do, how we've chosen to respond to things, and we say, we usually give ourselves a hard time. Because now, in many cases, we know better. Now we know better. But, you know, even 5 months ago, we didn't know that. Or, you know, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have seen it that way. And so that is the beauty of perspective, and that is the beauty of seeing the growth and expansion in our lives and our understanding of it. Whether it's, I used to binge, daytime soaps, stuff like that, where you know, people, that's a story, but they get into that. They follow those shows religiously. That's why these things have been on for 50 years or whatever.
Right,
and it's crazy.
True.
And you know it's crazy when you're watching it. You know it's crazy, but you know what? It offers a possibility that's how you could respond.
Right, that's true. Right.
And that's
why. Yeah, I could respond. I could poison their dinner.
I could have an affair
them.
with someone and have a whole other family.
Right.
I mean, there's the levels of ridiculousness, you know,
correct,
given our perspective. But then, because it's a possibility, it is a possibility. Anything we dream of can be a possibility.
Right.
It's just, you know, at 15, you're caught up with a lot of different things, with emotions, with hormones, and and so, yeah, you know, but you can't live your life in a vacuum, because then that happens to them when they're in their 20s. You know, then they don't know, they haven't had that exposure. So they're still, figuring stuff out. Doesn't mean they have to go through the exact same thing, but vibrationally they're going to have to figure out, you know, how to trust,
right.
You know, how to discern,
yeah,
how to express, you know, what it means
right.
to be honest, and how to, well, the difference between that and being brutally honest, you know, like those,
right.
those little nuances of, well, yeah, she told me, but dang, you know, like, wasn't there a better way?
Yeah, hello. Right.
So, because, or even this is important, the difference between the words you say and how you say it.
Correct. Oh, that's huge. Yep.
So sometimes you have the right words, but it's delivered in such a way that it means exact opposite of the words that you're using.
Right.
And those are things that you just have to figure them out. And we could revisit a conversation at different points in your life, and it'll be like, oh yeah, that, you know, here the moment you are justified. And then, you know, 20 years later, you hear, listen to that same conversation and you see it for what it is. Like, you have that different perspective. You see, oh,
right.
you know what? Oh, we were both really hurting then.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and in the moment we were angry, but overall it was just a lot of hurt. It had nothing to do, you know, specifically with, you know, you could kind of figure out all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back at all your different relationships. So, but we have to build on something, and you have that with your primary, you know, relationships with your family. And that's,
right.
that's, it's not like, well, we can't all be, you know, now we can't even use that. We can't all be Bill Cosby. We can't be the Cosby Show.
Well, we don't want to be Bill Cosby because, you know,
right.
hello, he does things.
Oh, even that.
Right.
Even that
right. Look at that right there. See, you that's perfect, actually.
So, you know, so we, wherever we are in the moment, that's just it. It's where we are. And there's,
right.
there's always a chance to evolve beyond that and to understand it with compassion. And there's always a chance to do from that. And still carry all the baggage and build on that and decide to be angry and bitter and jaded and just despair, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's totally an option. And,
oh, yeah. Yes.
And there are people who've taken it and run with it and run it into the ground and they're still miserable. And but even
right.
for those people, there is always a chance. At some point in time, that will turn it around. There's some event will happen, and it'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so done with this, and I'm,
oh,
know,
yes.
I, you know, I don't want to feel this anymore.
Yes.
So it's, there's
exactly
always
right.
a chance. It's never like, oh well, you know, you turned 18. Sorry, you're, you know, SOL. Sorry.
Right.
that's your course for the rest of your life.
That's it. Right.
Everybody has a chance in any given moment. But you have to do the work, and you have to do that inner work. So, I want to read a few things that are in the chat room,
uh-huh.
just to appreciate everybody putting their, two cents in.
Love that.
Again, I'm kind of going in order.
Okay.
Raven saying, Liz, you are a great mother and a single parent. My husband and I are trying to help my oldest grandson. He's very shy, but my husband mm-hmm. helped him get his job where he works.
Mm-hmm.
Found out Friday was his last day. They told him that he was seasonal. Doesn't make sense. But being
oh.
one not to help, I don't want to overstep my boundaries.
Right.
So that's stuff happening. And then she also wrote, I will be relieved when tomorrow is over. So about the inauguration, I have felt more anxiety than ever before.
Yeah.
I have never suffered with it before. So people are feeling this stuff. I wanted to say hello to Jay. He was in and out. He popped in and out for a moment there
uh-huh.
before he was going to work. And then Jen said, what someone thinks about us is none of our business, which is something that Lois used to say in her class.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, what someone thinks about us is none of our business. And then she also wrote, same thing with me, Liz. I didn't care about getting married, just wanted to be a mom. So we got a lot of...
I tell you, she's my sister, that Jess. She's my cousin in Canada. That's my girl. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we've we've all got our stuff that we're looking at and having to sort through. And really, when you were talking about your son and you know how he's internalizing a lot of stuff, you know, and same thing with his girlfriend. I mean, to come up with this idea, like, oh well, given all the clues that I've seen, you must be doing this. But that's the fundamental issue. I think it kind of ties into what's happening politically. You know, not just really in our country, but since we live here, you know, where how the big question has come up. You know, how do you coexist with people that you don't agree with? You know?
Yeah, that's a great parallel that you're making over here. Yeah, that's right.
When the communication, everyone's communication is key, but when we're communicating our own hurts and our own fears and our own accusations, and the other side is doing the same thing, you know, where do you meet? You know, where do you meet to have just a regular conversation? That's been an ongoing issue, I would say, for the last, you know, probably forever, honestly, because we're always looking at two sides, you know, at least two sides to any issue.
Yes. I love that how you're stitching this all together. Look at you. She took that thread and she just elevated it. Yeah, I love it.
So that's,
go ahead, go work, Elisa. Go ahead.
Yeah, these are things that I think about, you know. Because that's the stuff that's reflected around me.
Correct. Right.
And you said it too. Well, yeah, everything's a mirror. You know, it's a mirror. So what are we mirroring? And what are we really looking at? And that's, now here's the idea of things that I was taught by Lois was, you know, the mirror work that Louise Hay was such a big fan of.
Right.
Where you're looking in the mirror and you're just really looking at yourself and really looking at yourself and looking in your eyes and you know, could you say those things to yourself? Could you say, I love you, to yourself?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we take it another direction, you know, if you were to say the things that you would that you've said to other people, could you say it to yourself?
Mm. Yeah.
And it's enlightening sometimes when you think, well, yeah, I could say that. And if you seriously done it in like a full length mirror, it doesn't matter. It could just be a hand mirror, but there is an impact in what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, and you're looking at yourself in the eyes. Sometimes, because I've done this work before. I've said it. And there are things I've said, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not true. Like, I've caught myself and said, well, God, you know, that really is true. And you know, and you can admit, well, you know, when I say that, this hurts. Then I had to go deeper. I said, well, is it true? I was like, well, no, it's not true. Well, then why am I doing this? Like, why would I say that?
Right.
And it's also why, I mean, you know, some people say you're so sensitive, but that's also why when I'm around people who are, say, really sarcastic or they just sort of they like to joke around, at some point, you're I don't know if it's your body, your mind, your soul, you know, they're not thinking. It's not about. They don't have a sense of humor. It's like, but you said this. You know, you said this. So, on some level, you can accept that it could be true.
Yes.
And so words, you know, words do matter to that degree, and also how you say it. But think about this. In every language, you know, you have so many different nuances of words. You know, language, you know, can have all these different, what was it, something like, I don't know how many words, a lot of different words for love or for snow or for God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we're only partially aware of why we say what we say.
Mm-hmm.
And until we pay attention to, like you said, how we're feeling about it,
mm-hmm.
and get that feeling then into into some words that can hopefully convey that feeling. But see,
right.
The thing is, you have more that you can do with that. You know, some say the words don't matter. And in some cases, at some point it won't, because
right.
the feeling will be there and you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to connect with another person, you know, sometimes you think, I think people have been in this position where people have said the right things, but like it's still not right.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's still not. I know, and I've been accused of this before. When I would be in a relationship, and I could tell that this is what this person wants to hear, and I'm actually just kind of tired of having the conversation, so I'll just say
Ooh.
It. And then I'll get caught, obviously.
Tell me I'm
like,
pretty.
Well, yeah, because that's not. Because you can tell when you're being dismissed, you know, like, well,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know,
can tell when somebody just wants to shut it down. Oh, yeah. You
right.
Can tell
like, all right, we're done. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. You're right. All right.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're right. You know,
I'm sorry.
I'm saying, you're saying
and,
all the
And
right
if anything,
things?
That's worse.
It is worse.
Patronizing. Don't say you're sorry. Oh,
right.
My ex used to do that all the time. Just don't do the sorry like it's, you know, your version of a tourniquet. Sorry.
Right.
It's not real. Because then you're going to do the thing that's going to, you know, break my heart, you know, a week later.
Right.
I thought you said sorry. Oops.
And so these, the words can chain you to something that you
mm-hmm.
you don't mean.
Right.
And so it's even harder than, because you think, well, it's too hard to tell you the truth because it's going to hurt you.
Right.
Like, hurts now.
Right.
It's gonna hurt either way, because I don't think you do.
Right.
And I have to figure out how to, like, okay, well, you can't protect me. Like your son can't protect you, just like you can't really protect him.
I know. I can't. Right. And that is a very, thank you for saying that. That is a very sobering conclusion.
I mean, you do certain things to protect your kids. And when they find out, they're like, well, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. They're like, oh, you know, I agonized over this.
I get that. Oh, it's no big deal. Meanwhile, I'm like,
no,
I'm
deal.
Like dying
yeah.
on the inside. I just died
right.
like a small death. But that's, I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
don't
then
worry
that,
about me.
So then that becomes the issue, you know? And
right.
and so, we're always trying to navigate that. We're always trying to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, how to make everyone feel better, or how to make myself feel better.
Right.
You know, and it's difficult, but this is, you know, this is part of what it means to be alive and to be in this
yes.
body.
That's right.
And so,
that's right.
You know, you're not going to get it right all the time.
No.
That's the whole point.
I get it.
I
get it not right most of the time. Right.
and so, but the thing is, you know, Your son was trying to do the same thing that you've always tried to do.
Right.
Let me just not.
It backfires. Right.
Yeah. Well, it still serves a purpose. It
yeah.
just means that, you know, as you go deeper into, like, you know, why, like, I didn't want to hurt you. As you talk that out, it's like, well, you know, you can't live his life, and he can't live your life.
Good enough.
You can be in each other's lives. And,
right.
and so there are going to be things that he's going to say and do, just, you know, even on the basic level, there are things that you're going to cook for dinner that he's not going to like. Well, that hurts your feelings.
Girl.
You know, so
yeah.
what are you going to do about that?
Yeah,
we've
been
yeah.
over that for a long time. I'm
sure.
like, you know
and,
what?
And you
can't it's called ramen. Work it out. Right.
You can't tiptoe
yeah.
over
You don't like
that.
What I mean? Right.
So you deal with those little things, but the catch is not to build all that up and decide
right.
because of all these transgressions.
Right, right.
Because but you are a mind reader, so you should know these things. You know, the responsibility is really for ourselves,
right?
To ourselves, and everything else has to either line up or they don't.
Right.
And if they don't line up, it just means that in this moment it doesn't line up.
Right.
Doesn't mean I have to hate you forever.
Nope.
Or hold a grudge.
Nope.
Or make you wrong.
Right.
Because you've chosen something else.
Right.
You know, those. So saying those words makes it very clear cut and logical, but there's still an emotion and a feeling to it. That's all
right.
the stuff we're trying to figure out.
Right.
And so in a bigger level, like, how do we make our world a better place? That's why it has to start with us. It has to start with the individual.
Right.
And your idea of how you either belong in the world or fit in the world, or how you make pains to show that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people call that acting out.
Right.
You're acting out. It is a bigger issue. I mean, but it's a bigger part of life, and it is a big question, particularly what's happening in the country and in the world of how people now, in a sense, being so isolated but yet seemingly so connected.
Right.
You know, how we either agree or disagree, and sometimes agreement, you know, there are levels of agreement. Sometimes it's like, well, I like that aspect of it, but not this, not the way you
exactly.
delivered it. You know, so there's always going to be a little bit of not quite 100%
right.
what I would do, but whatever.
Right. But that's compromise, and that's give and take, and that's working together. And
because you can't do it in a vacuum.
No, none of this you can do. And we wouldn't be here. This isn't a vacuum.
Right.
So, yeah. It's I know, I just love how you just took all of that and just made it all make sense. So that's amazing. So tomorrow is the inauguration. Let's hope and pray that it goes smoothly. And we'll be back on the air on Thursday, so that's great, the day after. And see what things feel and look like then. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we'll be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Stay safe, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Take care. Love you.
Love
you. Bye.
Everybody.